Welcome to TJ Sideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Joining you live tonight here in the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. We can take your questions tonight via our Twitter account at TJ Sideways, via email tj@tjsideways.com. Also our Facebook fan page, tjsideways.com for that. Later in the program, we're going to talk to David Gravel about his big feature victory and only the second start in the Roth Motorsports car. Chase Ridenour, a youngster from Michigan here, picked up his first career sprint car win at the Butler Motor Speedway on Saturday night. And then we kick off our Little 500 coverage to close out the show with defending Little 500 champion Jacob Wilson. So David Gravel, Chase Ridenour, and Jacob Wilson later on in the program. Joining me in the co-pilot seat tonight, we're going to be bringing in some industry experts throughout the rest of the year. I like to have somebody to kind of anchor the show with me, at least to get things started. And tonight, Kevin Oldham from HoseHeads.com, KO's Boring Scene, also Flat Out Magazine, and various other entities of writing and other media. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad to be aboard again. It's a quite a bit different weather than the last time I talked to you, which I think was January 5th or around that time, 11 below zero, and it's May 5th, and it still doesn't feel like springtime just yet, but nevertheless, it's a lot warmer, thankfully.
And we were both at Eldora on Saturday night for the World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series, the second night of that program. And wow, what a race did we see there in the feature with Gravel picking up the win. But the race between Pittman, Gravel, and Hannigan coming out of the bottom out of nowhere, that was an amazing show on Saturday night.
It was. It reminded me a lot, actually, of the show that I saw there with the All-Stars at the end of the year, the Ohio Sprint-tacular, I guess they called it. But, you know, Hannigan nearly won that thing towards the end, and, you know, he talked about it in Victory Lane afterwards, actually on the podium there. Finding the middle to the bottom lane, you know, that's a lot different. Normally, you know, a guy like Bobby Allen from the past, you would expect a guy like him to do that. But Hannigan, you know, he's got a lot of laps there in the 360 cars. And in the new Meister car last year, you know, he picked up that ride, I want to say, about mid-year. But towards the end of the year there, really started picking it up. And, you know, that show at Eldora, like I said, he almost won it in the same fashion. So kind of doing what everyone else isn't, or going where they aren't, so to speak. And, you know, that definitely made it exciting. I know we were talking before we came on the air about Roger Slack and what he did with the racetrack before the feature event, and dug it up a little bit in between 3 and 4 and put a little bit of water, and that seemed to do some wonders for a guy like Hannigan, I would guess, huh?
Yeah, they did that one little strip coming out of 4 on the bottom, and it's the only place they really hit with the farm equipment. They put a little water on elsewhere, but they kind of just, and I mean, they didn't dig it up much. They just scratched it a little bit. And I'll be darned, man, come feature time, that came right off of there. And I kind of like the quote from Darren Pittman, who mentioned when he sees Hannigan coming on the bottom, it's the antithesis of seeing Honschild come on the top. You're not going to be able to do what they're doing, so you have to just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, people can say what they want about the wing racing in Eldora. You know, I've even called it Formula One on dirt before. But for the most part, you see a lot of passing. And, you know, looking through the results, you know, Donnie Schatz, of course, the hard charger, 19th to 5th, but, you know, Dale Blaney, 18th to 6th in that feature. Danny Holtgraver, 16th to 7th. Madsen, after, Kerry Madsen, after suffering the tire problem, came back up to 8th in that race. And even a guy like Craig Kinzer, 21st to 11th, really, you know, you really had to kind of look back a little bit to see some of that. But still, when you got Schatz, Blaney, Holtgraver, and Madsen coming through there, I think that says a lot for that brand of racing on that type of racetrack. It is possible to pass.
Yeah, I think we were talking off the air. They've changed the racetrack over the years there a little bit. And I think some of the changes they've done have fostered much better wing sprint car racing there. It doesn't seem to lock right down to the top anymore. There are multiple options. You might not be able to use all those options every lap, but you can get away with it for a bit, or in Hagen's case, you can just ride the bottom all the way around the place and make time.
Yeah, and, you know, there were stages there with about 5 to go, and I honestly thought Hannigan was going to win that thing. And I don't know about you, or if you were maybe more of a pessimist to say, you know, you won't see a guy win it on the bottom, which I don't know. I just felt like, you know, he was getting that momentum built up, especially coming off of two there. And, you know, they didn't even put the water down in two. So that really says a lot about Hannigan and that team. And, you know, I don't follow the wing stuff nearly as much as somebody like you, of course, because I live here in Indiana. But what do you hear about Randy Hannigan and the Neumeister team? Are they just going to hit and miss, or are they doing all the all-stars that they can? What do you know about that?
It seems to be just more of a hit and miss scenario. Randy's still doing time with the 22 car and the 360 side, and they're going to do some 410 racing with the 11 car in Ohio. I don't know what the plans are right now outside of Ohio much. I don't really know if there are plans outside of the state of Ohio much, but the way they're rolling, I mean, I'd love to see them out a little bit more. I know they were out at Atomic Speedway once this year, and then came to Eldora. I imagine they'll be at all the Eldora shows for sure at this point.
Yeah.
That's one of those teams that I think equipment's going to matter too. If they tear up a bunch of stuff, I don't think they'll be out quite as much. And one thing about all that passing, it's not like that was a slouch field on Saturday.
Right.
You had the best of the all-stars pretty much there. The best outlaw guys. You had guys like Brent Marks there from Pennsylvania and other people.
So it's
not like, you know, it was like the some of these shows you go to with the outlaws where it's the 12 outlaws and then maybe 6 360s fill in the field and maybe a couple stragglers. I mean, that thing was pretty deep front to back.
Well, no doubt about it. And you look at some of the guys in the back there, probably the two biggest surprises for me as far as having poor nights, Amy Swindell a lap down for the second night in a row in 18th, and then Jack Hodenshield, 19th in the nine car that wrenched by Scott Bennick. And, you know, Jack, you know, at Eldora, he's almost like a given. And to see him struggle like that makes me wonder about, you know, the chemistry there, or if it's just not, you know, going to happen. You know, Jack at Eldora, it's an automatic.
Yeah, that team struggled to get going a little bit. I was a little surprised, too. I thought this would be the race they would turn the corner a little bit with that nine car. But, man, it just doesn't seem to be hitting there for whatever reason, and they haven't kept up. But one other thing that's kind of a factor at Eldora is we've got all these young kids like Brad Sweet and people like that that aren't afraid to just rim that place. I mean, it used to be you'd have to take a few visits to get used to running there. And even Christopher Bell, for only a second weekend there at Eldora, third start ever on Saturday, second in a wing car. Man, he had flashes of brilliance. These young kids are coming in, and they're fearless, man. They put it right up on the fence, and they're not afraid to stick it up there and stand on the loud pedal.
Well, in qualifying, that was definitely the case. You know, the track had a little bit of character, I would call it, a little bit choppy. I was standing on the inside of one and two there, watching them come through there. And, you know, obviously the cushion was pushed out all the way to the wall. And, you know, that one spot in turn two that really separates the men from the boys. You know, those young boys were looking like men out there because they were flirting with it with no problem at all, and Christopher Bell was one of those. And interesting, you know, Bell was in the Brad and Steve Fox 53, and I talked to Steve Fox, and he said, you know, that's the first time they've taken a wing car over there, really, he thought, since 1991 with Danny Smith. So it's been a long time since they've been there, you know, on that type of playing field for sure with the Outlaws. So hats off to those guys, because, you know, they probably had the smallest trailer in the pit area. It wasn't an open trailer, but it was a small enclosed trailer and just enough parts in there, maybe a couple front axles. I don't even think they had a spare top wing, to be honest. I saw wheels and front wings, but I don't know that I saw a spare top wing. So, yeah, they definitely do it old school style, but it's really cool to see that against the World of Outlaws, because That's definitely something you don't see, you know, even with the small hauler. I mean, obviously, trucks and trailers don't win races, but, I mean, even you see some of the smaller operations there, they still have humongous rigs, and, you know, it looks impressive, but when it's all said and done, the Fox brothers, they're still putting a stout piece on the racetrack.
Yeah, Steve was joking with me to get tired of being pointed towards the modified parking every time they pull in from the trailer. Is it modified? No, really, you got a sprint car. Oh, we got a place up front for you. What's interesting about the Fox brothers, this wing schedule they're doing right now is kind of what their non-wing program was really supposed to be, just kind of something to do for fun once in a while, and they'd bring it out every now and then. But what happened was, with John Stambrough, they just kept winning. So they had to keep racing, and eventually, they were doing 60, 70 races a year, and eventually, they kind of got burned out a little bit on it, and now it looks like they're having fun again. As they joked with me, it's like a change of scenery.
Yeah, it is for sure, and I know it's a throwback to Brad's days when he first drove, because back then, we're talking 1988, 1989, I mean, aside from Kokomo and Putnamville, I mean, to go sprint car racing in Indiana, you bolted on a wing, and that was the way to go. It was just called sprint car racing then. It wasn't wing sprint car racing or non-wing, and, you know, I think it's definitely brings back memories of that for sure for him, and, you know, I'm kind of surprised he doesn't get back in behind the wheel. I know they did that at Putnamville, I think maybe last year or the year before that, where he actually got behind the wheel, but it wasn't in the wing car. It was in his own non-wing car. But regardless, you know, they're having fun, and that's the name of the game when you're at that level. You know, you just go out and run to win and have fun, and, you know, they don't take it too seriously. I mean, obviously they want to win, and they have won this year, but I just like to see that sort of thing, especially against the Outlaws, because, I mean, how many teams, you got so many competitive teams out there that can win. I mean, you go up and down the list, and, you know, there are probably a dozen cars that could have won that race on Saturday, given the right circumstances.
And as I joked with the Fox brothers, when you go out with the Outlaws, it's the rent gets higher when you get in the neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you and I love non-wing racing, and we do love sprint car racing in general. But when you go to an Outlaw show, I joke it's like sprint car fantasy land, because you walk through, especially at the upper echelons of that deal, because all those, you look at those haulers, it's just endless parts, endless spares. The cars are just immaculate. When you look at how well, especially the top cars, are maintained, it's just you start to see the difference between the haves and the have-nots, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting, you know, to see Bobby Allen bring his son and his grandson out on the road this year. And, you know, that's definitely a stark contrast. I think they're one hauler hauls two cars, and, you know, it's traditional Bobby Allen style. It's not there for looks. It just gets the job done. So hats off to Jacob Allen also. I don't know that he's ever been to Eldora Speedway. I didn't ask him, but, you know, the kid's still pretty young and pretty green, but he made the feature, got the last transfer spot in through the B main there, and, you know, I was impressed by that, actually. I know he had a solid run, I think, at Peevely. Maybe that wasn't where it happened recently, but he came up through the pack there and ended up kind of fading towards the end, but it'll be interesting to see both of those guys, how they progress. Logan Schuhart, obviously, has been out quite a bit over the last couple of years traveling, but Jacob Allen, this is his indoctrination. It's trial by fire, sink or swim. But when you got Bobby Allen as your father, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, not bad bloodlines there. Another thing that was a factor on Saturday night, you probably saw it, especially in qualifying, the wind was blowing about 30 out of the west, and it was solid 30. And, man, those guys down the backstretch at Eldora, it gets tight off two anyway. But, I mean, they had their hands full on the backside of the racetrack all night.
Yeah, they did. And I don't know if that was a deal like with Trey Gustin when he got into the wall there, or if that was a gust of wind or anything like that, or if he just got too high going into three there. I know there's always the traditional dip where the rigs go down the track there and, you know, upsets the car. But, yeah, I even heard Donnie Schatz kind of make mention to that. It might have been even after hot laps preparing for qualifying that, you know, it was kind of throwing him for a loop a little bit. And when it's somebody like Schatz, that's saying a lot, actually.
Yeah, and you think about that, a lot of other tracks – it might not have a wall in the back straightaway, or it might be a little ways off. Well, that's the tightest part of that racetrack, is right where the wind was blowing. It definitely had everyone's attention, including mine, during qualifying. I was heads up paying attention to every car going down the backside, because it was like flirting with disaster every time a car went through there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, you know, looking through the rest of the order, you know, Joey Saldana, I kind of expected more out of him on Saturday night. Of course, he was running up front early and then faded towards the end, but he is still the point leader by one, even after finishing 12th on Saturday. And, it's good to see him running up front, especially with that team. I know it took him a long time, it seems like last year, to get in that groove, and it seems like he's getting in that groove.
Yeah, that's a team that I did expect to kind of take off last year a little quicker than what it did. But like you said, it seems like they're kind of getting their things figured out there, the chemistry. One kind of neat thing about that is him and Davey Wentworth, they didn't split up like a lot of teams would if they had a year like that. They're back together again this year, because sometimes you just have to let things happen to make them work. And so often it's easy, especially on the Outlaw Tour, to go toss it by the wayside and go try something else. But they're sticking it out. They've been running pretty well. Like I said, they're leading the points, and they've had a strong, you know, they've been strong everywhere they've went.
Yeah, but, you know, when it's going to be all said and done, Donnie Schott's definitely the guy to beat. And, you know, at Eldora, you know, it doesn't matter where you start him in any of these races, whether it's Eldora or coming up at Hobstadt. The guy always seems a way to to finish those races, and, you know, a la Steve Kinzer, although, you know, I don't know if back in the day that Kinzer ever qualified really that bad, but it just seems like Schott's, wherever you start him, he's going to figure out a way to get to the front, and that's what wins championships.
I think I learned that in Iowa last year, that unless the 15's sitting on the trailer, he's not out of it.
Yeah,
it's the only way that thing is not in contention to win is if it's sitting in the box on, you know, whatever road heading back to Fargo or Indianapolis.
Yeah. You know, and I remember, you know, back in the day when Schott's just struggled, and somewhere along the way, I guess to me it seems like it was that split season of 06 when they had the NST, and Schott's just went out there and just kicked butt. And, you know, took names later, and, you know, maybe it was more of a confidence thing with him, because it just seems like whenever he would get down, let's just say 10, 13, 14 years ago, you know, he stayed down, but once he got that confidence up, he just hasn't lost it.
One guy we haven't talked about, obviously, is David Gravel. Second night in the Roth Motorsports car, picking up the win at Eldora. Of course, he'll be on next. What an impressive deal, because quite often it does take chemistry to gel. But, man, he jumped right in the seat, looked good on Friday, had a bolt fall off, and had a DNF and a mechanical problem none of his doing on Friday. But then on Saturday, they put it all together, and he did a heck of a job through traffic, too, because, I mean, that race was one with about three to go in traffic where he got through, and Pittman got picked, and he snuck through to get the win.
Yeah, and you know, the few times that I get to see the Outlaws each year, it's usually at Eldora, and you know, if memory serves me correctly, he's been fast there for about the last 3 or 4 years. I know he had quick time, I think, twice in 1 year, maybe it was twice in one weekend, a couple years ago. I could get the years wrong because they're all kind of running together now, but you know, every time I've seen him run Eldora, it seems like people either get it or they don't, and he definitely gets it, and that definitely showed on Saturday. Of course, like you said, Friday night he performed admirably and was coming up through there and would have been a contender, as my nephew told me. He was over there on Friday night and gave me the lowdown. But yeah, hats off to David for the, you know, the second race in the car, and I guess deuces were kind of wild that weekend, because of course Shane Stewart, his second ride ever in the Larson Marks car, picks up the win on Friday. So I don't know if two was the lucky number, but Shane's number is number two, and Gravel, you know, his second start in the 83 car, he gets it done. So but yeah, he did a nice job, and you know, I've been looking for big things from him, actually from last year on, when he started running for Bill Rose, or at least taking over for him. You know, he impressed me quite a bit in those early season races, going to racetracks that honestly I don't think he'd ever even seen before, and was just adapting extremely well. I mean, that's one thing to go there with a new team to some of these racetracks, but to go there and not actually having been to the track at all before, that's a whole nother ball game. And he performed so well last year, of course, picking up the Rookie of the Year award there at the end of the year. So you know, Gravel, definitely one of those guys to look forward to. You know, in the future, everybody says, you know, what's going to happen with the Outlaws without the King out there, and maybe without Sammy, and you know, you got guys coming up like Gravel that you know, give you hope.
And I think that was on display on Saturday. One thing about Gravel you should always watch him on those double file restarts. That dude is money every time on that format because he just eats up spots. I don't know what he didn't really have to do it that much on Saturday because he's towards the front, but if he doesn't qualify that well, watch him work his way up in those double file starts because he eats up chunks of cars on those. And these days with the Outlaws, that's money.
Oh, yeah, you gotta strike while the iron's hot, and that's that's the time of the race when the iron is the hottest. So it'll be interesting to see David in that 83 car down at Hobstop, because he nearly won that race last year, and ironically the guy that won it, Tim Kading, was driving the 83 last year. So I'm going to head down there on Saturday, weather permitting, and we'll see if he can get it done.
Well, Kevin, you want to stick around and talk to David Gravel?
Yeah, I'll throw a few questions in there, and that'll be fun.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with David Gravel. You're listening to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on Races on the Web. Kevin Oldham, joining me in the co-pilot seat tonight. And our first guest was your feature winner with the World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series on Saturday night, the Eldora Speedway, only his second ride in the Roth Motorsports car. And we get to congratulate David Gravel on a supreme performance on Saturday night. David, thank you for taking time out to join us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on Saturday. Let's talk about that a little bit. You definitely earned your money on that one, racing Darren Pittman and Randy Hannigan for the win. Talk a little bit about getting through traffic and catching Pittman.
You know, we started on the pole and we fell back there and just kind of got settled in. And, you know, lap traffic Pittman struggled with. And I got the wing back, and the car just got really, really good. And, you know, Pittman couldn't really get off the cushion, and, you know, I could really run low, middle, anywhere I had to.
And you guys exchanged slide jobs back and forth. That looked like it was a lot of fun there racing for the lead.
Yeah, you know, sometimes a little too much fun because I like to just pass them and take off. But I think everybody got their money's worth.
Hey, David, I was going to say, over the past few years, it seems like you've always been fast at Eldora. What is it about Eldora Speedway that suits your style?
You know, I really learned how to qualify good there, and that track is so tough to be good late in the feature when you got to be right up against the wall. It's just one of those things. I'm not as confident as, you know, Jack may be up against the wall, but it takes me a little while, probably till the end of the night, to get up there. And it's just one of those things with experience. It's a really, really hard track to run. And, you know, racing there more and more, the better you get.
David, you know, you got the Roth Motorsports ride. It's your first weekend in it. Where were you when you got the call to officially offer you the ride?
I was in Worcester, Ohio. We actually just got moved into a shop with the 59 car, and we were at the hotel, and I got the word. And, you know, it was difficult to give the news to Tom and the rest of the team, but it was just something I couldn't pass up.
Wow. Well, that's definitely a top-notch ride. You know, looking through the names of the drivers that have driven for Dennis and Teresa over the years, I mean, it's kind of a who's who of sprint car racing for sure. But going back to last year, you know, you got a pretty nice little break there to sub for Bill Rose out on the road, out on the West Coast particularly. And, you know, as far as your development as a driver, what did that do for you going to these racetracks that maybe you hadn't seen before, but yet you kind of stepped up to the plate there and really performed? What did that do for your confidence?
You know, with going into Bill's car, you know, there wasn't too many expectations. And, you know, to go out there and be fast and run in the top five, you know, a handful of times was awesome. And it gave me the opportunity to run with the Outlaws full time because usually I missed all those shows, and now I was able to do them. So, you know, once they came back east, I just hopped in my car, slapped a six on it, and we were able to do the rest of the races. So it was definitely a great opportunity, and I think it definitely helped me out.
At this point, Dave, which win would you consider the biggest in your career? You won at Knoxville last year or this past weekend?
You know, they're both pretty awesome. You know, to win at Eldora and to win for Dennis Roth in the car is just great. You know what I mean? You know, Knoxville Nationals is the biggest race there is, and to win a prelim night's no easy task. So, you know, they're both very special to me, but in a little bit different ways.
So we're going into actually Jacksonville, I think, on Wednesday night, and then down to Hobstadt on Saturday. And Hobstadt, I remember last year you had a chance to win that race. You know, in the Roth 83, do you feel a little more pressure to perform in that than, let's say, last year, you know, when going out in the Bill Rose car where, as you said, lower expectations? Do you feel any pressure there at all, or do you just or do they just say, hey, just gas it and see what happens?
Well, you know, I've dealt with, you know, car owners over the years of my own car and stuff like that. There's always pressure to perform, you know, and every time I get in that seat, I'm going to drive as hard as I can every time. So I give it my all every time I'm at the track. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But I give it 100%, and, you know, hopefully it works out. But I think just with experience, you know, I think I'm getting more consistent, and it's definitely helping me out.
And, David, this weekend, quite a contrast from the weekend at Eldora. You've got Jacksonville, Wilmette, and Hobstadt lined up. Three short tracks. How are you feeling going into the shorter ovals for the weekend?
You know, Jacksonville's real small, and Merced was really small when I won. So I'm looking forward to that. Wilmette, I've been there one time, and, you know, that's not a very big track either. So, but Hobstadt, actually, when I finished second, Tim Kading won in the Roth car. So, you know, I think hopefully with me finishing second last year and the Roth car winning, we should have a pretty good shot.
So, you know, chassis and engine-wise, and even in crew chief, has it been a big adjustment going to this car? I'm not sure what they're running for chassis, if they've got KPCs like they used to run, or if they're running something else. But tell us a little bit about the car and the engine and your new crew chief.
You know, they have Speedway engines, pretty much, you know, one of the best out there. They have KPC chassis, which I've never drove before, but you know, our first time at Eldora and hot laps, I was comfortable, so that was great. We got Sonny Kratzer and Gilligan on the wrenches, and it's kind of a team effort. We all talk about it, and we all work together to how to set up the car. So everybody's very open-minded right now, and you know, it's just really a group effort.
Hey, Kate.
Sonny Kratzer's been around for a while.
Hey, KO,
he's been around for a few years.
I bet that you could probably get a good deal right now on a David Gravel 59 t-shirt.
I would think so, yeah. That's everybody likes the vintage t-shirts, so maybe one of those 59 David Gravels will be worth top dollar on eBay one of these days. So.
Limited edition.
Yeah, they were definitely limited edition, and, you know, they're the latest shirts out still, so I'm sure I'll have some 83 ones eventually. But, yeah, I got them like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, and now I got plenty left.
So is the world of a full-time sprint car racer with David Gravel joining us after his big win at Eldora on Saturday. David, after you win a race like that, does it make you feel a little bit better about a race like the Kings Royal? Because that is one of the bigger races when you can win at the track before that big race comes up.
Yeah, after I won, I told the guys I can't wait to the Kings Royal. I wish the Kings Royal was the day after. I'm definitely looking forward to going back. We were fast both nights, and Brad Sweet did it last year. I'm sure not a lot of people picked him, so you know, anybody's got a shot at it.
So you know, life as an outlaw driver, I don't know, it's probably a lot different these days as it used to be, like, let's say 1978 when Steve Kinzer started and the World of Outlaws started. You know, he probably rode in the truck and the trailer and went to the laundromat and did all that. But what's your week like, you know, like, let's just say this week you got, you know, races on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. What are you doing right now to get ready for it? And what's the week look like closer to it? Do you drive? Do you fly? How does that work out for you?
Well, obviously, it's changed a lot in the past few months with driving the Tyner car, then the 59 car, now the 83. So, you know, this week we have a shop here in Indianapolis. And, you know, yesterday I actually got to go to Indianapolis Motor Speedway and drive a pace car and give people rides around the track. So I got to do that this week, which is really cool. And actually right now I'm at an Indiana Pacers game right now. So I get to have some fun this week. We'll be leaving probably Wednesday morning to go to the track. But other than that, you know, just hang out, rest up, and we have a lot of racing coming up.
Excellent.
Well, Kevin, I think we should let the man get back to his basketball.
I kind of want to watch that game too.
Yeah, so, well, David, congratulations. Thank you for joining us again, and best of luck coming up, and hopefully get to talk to you again maybe after a Kings Royal win.
Yeah, that would be awesome, and hope to have me on again.
All right, David Gravel joining us on the line. And Kevin, not much we can say about this young man. I mean, he did a spectacular job on Saturday at Eldora, and man, this is a kid to watch. He's really coming up the ranks.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A win at Eldora in any kind of car is huge, but with the World of Outlaws, it's even more significant. So, you know, you don't fluke into those types of things for sure. And, you know, he is the real deal, and looking forward to seeing how he's going to do the rest of the season. I'm sure he'll do just fine. He's got quite a bit of years under his belt already at a lot of different types of racetracks all over the country. So, you know, I expect big things from him, and I'm sure that's why he's in the 83 seat.
And can we shed your label now? You are a sprint car guy. I mean, you do a majority of non-wing sprint car racing, but hopefully we help de-label you a little bit tonight.
Yeah. Hopefully some people are listening out there, and, you know, hopefully I won't get too much grief about it from, you know, some of my friends who they're just not the Wang fans, as they call them. But yeah, I mean, I've always been a sprint car guy, but for the most part, you know, with all this stuff in my backyard, without wings, you know, naturally that's what I am accustomed to. But, you know, as I've said before many, many times, when I first started going to races, they were sprint cars, and if they had wings on them, that was great. If they didn't, that was great too. So, you know, it's always the most exciting form of racing. You know, it's still, you know, about speed and bravery and, you know, who has the biggest right foot, I guess, when it comes down to it. And, you know, that's what I like about it. It's not a dumbed down sport. It's all about, real racing and who can go the fastest. And that's what I like.
I agree. We're going to take another break. When we come back, Chase Ridenour will be joining us. Also, Jacob Wilson. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com.
Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. My next guest picked up his first feature victory on Saturday night at the Butler Motor Speedway in a full-size sprint car, but he's been tearing up the micro sprint ranks around the Great Stakes area for several seasons now. And it's good to have young Chase Reinauer joining us on the line. First of all, Chase, congratulations on the win on Saturday. And I forget, how old are you now?
Thanks, TJ. I just turned 15 this year.
Wow. It's a youth movement kind of show tonight. So 15-year-old Chase Reinauer, feature winner at Butler. Let's talk about that feature win a little bit. You had to pass one of the Butler veterans who's been on the show, Doug Zimmerman, for the lead. So let's talk about how you set it up and how did you get the lead from Doug?
Well, we started fifth in the feature and a wreck happened on the restart. So that moved us up to third position. We were a little worried because we hit a tractor tire to avoid the wreck, but everything seemed okay, so we just kept going. And on the restart, dropped back to fourth, was running consistent, and picked off for third place. And then later on the race, got second. And the car just kept getting faster and faster. And in that situation, you just think about it, like, got to keep going. And those last couple laps, the car got super fast, and we were able to reel them in a little bit. And looks like you made a little bobble and made the pass, and it worked.
Chase Reinauer joining us on the line. Did you believe it when you took the checkered flag? Did you have to take that little extra lap to think, wow, this really just happened?
Yeah, I took an extra lap under green flag just to make sure, because I've seen that happen before. But it was hard to believe at first, get that first win this early. I knew we were competitive, but taking the lead from Zimmerman felt really special, and I enjoy racing with him a lot because he's very respectful, and obviously he's a veteran and really good at driving sprint cars, so it was a blast.
Chase Reinauer joining us. You moved up from the micro sprint ranks. You're one of the latest drivers to make that transition in the area. What's the biggest difference with the transition between the small car and the full-size sprint car?
Well, when I jumped in, expecting a big power change and everything else, but until I got in, I wasn't really sure how much of a difference it would be. They're very similar, but obviously sprint cars got a lot more power, which that took the longest to get used to, handling the car being light up front with all the power. But they were similar, and I knew we could be pretty successful coming right from open wheel. And it's been working out great so far, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the year.
And what are your plans for the rest of the year? Where are we going to see you racing?
We're going to stick with sod this year. And on any off weekends, we'll either hit an open track, I-96, or Butler, one of the two.
Chris Chase Reinauer joining us here on TJ Slideways Live. Now, Crystal Motor Speedway, you did have a little bit of a rough moment where you spun from the pole of the feature, but what did you learn from that? That, to me, is a learning experience for you, probably something that you can file away in the memory bank. What did you gain from that experience?
Pretty much that. Just before the race, you got to get the tires warm, and you just got to take it easy and forget about everything else and run your own race. And once you make it through the first corner, then look forward from there. I learned a lot from it because, you know, it was a mistake, and it was just you got to overcome that those things and move on to the next weekend. And a win definitely helped overcome that. And we're very fortunate to have a fast car and get the victory this weekend.
Robert Flanagan's been working with you as a mechanic. What has it been like to work with Robert?
Oh, it's a ball. We have a lot of fun in the shop, and he's right there. He always listens to what you have to say, and he's very informative. He wants to know how the car's doing, and he's very knowledgeable about sprint cars and what they need on muddy tracks and dry slick tracks, and it's helped us out a lot. But it's been a ball. We're really enjoying it.
Well, that's good to see the next generation of sprint car racing having fun with this. And so you're 15 years old. You're obviously in school right now. What is your favorite subject each day in and day out? Because that is the day job for you after all.
Shoot. That's a tough one. I'd have to say I'm pretty good at math, so I'd have to pick math.
Oh, maybe a future engineer on our hands of the racing along with it. Math, favorite subject of Chase Reidenauer. Also, you play some other sports, too. Racing's not the only sport you're involved in.
Yep, I play sport. I play baseball. That's the only really sport I have time to play with racing season. And we're all right. I'm all right at baseball, but definitely racing's my sport.
It's definitely seems to be a good fit for young Chase Reidenauer here, just 15 years old, picking up his first career victory this past Saturday at the Butler Motor Speedway. And Chase, I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
Yep, I have a lot of people behind us, and I enjoy everything they do for me. The all sponsors, my grandpa, Reidenauer's Towing. My dad's car owner, he owns Reidenauer's Auto Repair. This is all in Perry. And then Dave Nichols Excavating does a lot for us. He's always at the track, helping us out when we need it. The Great Gazebo is the one that sticks in my car. The car looks amazing, and I have to thank them a lot. And Long's Transmission for adding money here and there to keep us going around the track. And you know, of all people, that's what you need to keep going and racing, so I'd like to thank all of them. Also, my crew members, crew chief Robert Flanagan, Nick Nevue, Joe Gortz, my uncle Dave, grandpa, dad, and Dwayne Turner also.
I was going to say, don't forget the old man in there.
Yeah.
So, well, Chase, it's been great to watch your development over the past couple of seasons. Congratulations on the win, and I'm sure this is not the last time we're going to be talking.
Yep. Thank you. All right, appreciate it.
Chase Reidenauer, we're going to take a break. When we come back, defending Little 500 champion Jacob Wilson. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartz.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. We're going to close out tonight's show, kicking off our Payless Little 500 coverage, and there is no better way to kick off that coverage with the gentleman that won that race 1 year ago, Jacob Wilson, joining us on the line. And it's been a year now, Jacob, and did winning that race bring you some notoriety everywhere you went afterwards?
Oh yeah, it's pretty much from that night on. Everybody knows you're the Little 500 champion. It's a heck of a race to win, not just for me, but our whole team. We actually gained a lot of notoriety, not just that, but a lot of credit as far as in the racing field in general. We hadn't won a race in a little bit, so that one there brought us quite a bit of attention, and we're still riding the high. So we hope to actually continue that again this year.
When you talk about Little 500, the first thing that comes in my mind is preparing for the Little 500. What does your team do to start preparing for the uniqueness of that race?
We actually just completed our third pit stop practice this last week. All of our guys have their stuff together. We actually tested an engine for a few hundred laps and got it rebuilt, and everything's ready to roll. That race there, you need to have your stuff so prepared that you can't actually fail based on your team's merits. Our motto in our shop is never let it be your fault. And it's not one of those where it's like, oh, yeah, it was his fault. No, it's just one of those where you know your part's so prepared that you're going to be good no matter what. And whether it's my physique, these guys as far as building the car and everything safety-wired or the car engine, it's just different every time. But you never want it to be something that comes back on you. And we actually we take pride in knowing that our car has completed that race most of the time.
What do you do differently now compared to when you first started running the Little 500?
It's been a few strange years. I'm a lot more patient, but at the same time, these last few years, the race pace has taken off immensely. You actually still need to push. And I know when I first started, it was all about conserving brakes and just letting the car roll. Now you're using the brakes the entire race. You have to push it that hard. with the crowd that's there this year and last year. I mean, it's getting tougher and tougher, and for me at least, but it's neat racing against that crowd.
And I try to describe to people, for our audience that's never been to a little 500, I compare it to like being in a gladiator coliseum with the people around you, and then everything happens below. But on the racetrack, one thing I've always noticed, it's 3 hours of nonstop racing through traffic. How do you as a driver approach the slower cars at Anderson?
It's definitely different. I mean, starting from the first lap there, I mean, you survive the first lap, and then you think, okay, there's one of 499 more to go. It's just really different. And the slower traffic most of the time is not a problem. I know a few of the guys this year complained about some slower cars getting in the way. And it's one of those where if you're paying enough attention, they never get bother you. If you're doing a good job, you can actually avoid it, but you never know. I mean, a couple of guys think, you know what, I got this move made, and they don't have the move made. You're getting wadded up in that just as quick as it happens, and that's happened to us a couple of times. But the part about it now is you just have to focus so far ahead. I mean, if you're going down the front stretch, you're looking coming off turn two to make sure what's going on. And a lot of times with 33 cars on a quarter-mile track, that can be too far ahead as well. You miss a pilot going to one then. So it's always a handful. It's definitely a lot of luck. You cannot run that race and win it without luck. And we had it on our side this last year. I can't be happy enough about it. It was great.
Whenever I go anywhere, this is the one race people talk to me about. And one thing people that have never been to it bring up to me is, how do you negotiate the start with 33 cars, three wide and tight formation? So, how do you approach it? Do you get together with your row mates and see what's going to happen? Or, what do you do to, survive the start of the Little 500?
Well, this last year, I can't remember who exactly was in my row. I know Tony Hunt was in the middle of it. When you have a guy like Tony Hunt in your row, you know you're not going to get squoze into the wall in the front stretch. Unlike a couple of years ago, I actually had a guy on the inside run us up in the fence to start the race. I don't remember who it was now at this point, but it was kind of a disappointment. It's just one of those where your night starts off so bad, and then you actually have to recover from that. When you have some experienced guys in your row, that's always a big sigh of relief to start a race. It's just really neat to have. We started ninth four times out of the six times we've ran it. So it's getting used to starting on that outside row is kind of tough, but once you get used to it, you can actually start negotiating the traffic a little easier off the start. And it just getting everybody in the field to understand that you have 500 laps. It's tough to do, but, if you get lucky enough to complete that first lap without hitting the wall, it's kind of downhill from there for a little bit.
How important is it to get into that first half of the field on the first day of qualifying?
It's really relieving. We went out the second day of analysts last year. We actually didn't have functioning brakes for a bit. So we went out the second day and just ran a couple of rounds to get our brakes working. So we weren't working on trying to get in the field still. We're set there. We're there. At that point, we can actually just go ahead and start working on different things with our crew, building the fuel rig, working on the tire changers, working on tire guns. You focus on everything else other than just getting in the field. It buys you a whole other day of preparation.
Jacob Wilson, the defending Payless Little 500 champion, joining us on the line. And Jacob, you're going to be a busy guy in the next couple weeks because we were talking off the air, you're doing the full Silver Crown series, including the dirt races, and of course the as well as a wing race that week at Anderson, and some wing races leading into that. So you are going to be a very busy guy. How many feature laps did you say you were going to be competing, if you compete all of them or complete all of them?
Oh yeah. If we run all of them, from what's that, May 17th, the Silver Crown race of IRP, the wing race that Wednesday, then qualifying Thursday for the Little 5, and then the Little 5, well, we also have the Hoosier 100 Thursday night, and then the Little 5 on Saturday. We actually have 760 feature laps on slate for those 8 days. And, as a driver, I look forward to that. That's going to be fun. As somebody that actually works out avidly, I'm also ready for the challenge.
What made you guys want to make the jump and get the Dirt Silver Crown car?
We one of those where I always like to run for points championships, and we've never really had the opportunity to run the dirt. I've heard the guys talk about the dirt miles are where it's at. It's fun to do it. You hear guys talk about in the next form of racing, you need dirt experience. And since they started running NASCAR back on dirt with the truck series, I can believe that now. But it's one of those where it's just something that it sounds like fun to us. We got a heck of a deal on a car. Ken Baldwin hooked us up. we have a heck of a deal with Toyota Motors, and we're looking forward to the whole series. Knocking the dust off of Terre Haute to start the season was a little rough on me, but we finished the race. That was the goal, and I'm just ready for the miles now.
All right. And, you know, with the Silver Crown Series, do you see that series starting to turn a corner now with Andy Hillenburg at the helm?
Yeah. Andy's actually a great guy. Great guy to work with the series. He's got a lot of good ideas. We, as far as incorporating the teams and drivers, he's reaching out. We're pretty much a grassroots program. We're not one of the big teams. We're kind of satellite off a couple teams, but working with him, he actually incorporates us just like we would be a big team. But there's no favoritism, no issues there. It's just that he actually makes us aware of what's going on, and that's nice. Something been lacking with USAC for a little bit. The person they're starting to recover. It's turning the corner. I hope it continues because the USAC Silver Crown Series is probably my favorite series to run. Right now the competition's still solid in it. It's just, it takes a lot, and he's actually putting the effort into it, and he'll probably gain a few gray hairs in the process, but it hopefully it's worth it for us in the end.
Jacob Wilson, finish the interview. If you had to tell someone that's never been to the Little 500 something to convince them to go, what would you tell them?
Well, depending on where they're from, if it's from the Northeast, it's the most wicked snowmobile race you've ever seen. If it's from South, probably the best rodeo you'll ever hear about in your life. It's a mix of both worlds. I mean, one of those where you don't sit down for the first 50 laps because you don't know where the action's at because it's all over the track. You can't focus on one spot. At that point, I would actually invite them down to our pit and just let them actually hang out for a night and let us see what it's like because there's so much going on they couldn't understand.
Well, Jacob, thank you for taking time out to join us, and best of luck in your preparations for the Little 500. Hey, it's Cinco de Mayo. Let's go finish this show and celebrate.
Oh, I hear you there, TJ. Happy Cinco de Mayo to everybody. Dos Equis on me. Let's go ahead and have a good night.
I'll hold you to that, Anderson.
No problem. Yeah, I'll see you there.
All right, Jacob Wilson. And that's going to finish up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I'd like to thank our guests tonight, David Gravel, Chase Ridenour, Jacob Wilson, you just heard, and also Kevin Oldham for manning the co-pilot seat there for a little bit to start off the show. We'll do this again next Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.